Okay, this week's Sedra, Parshas Vayeshev. We have the mics of Yosef and his brothers. His brothers accused him of being a rodef, wanting to kill them. So as a result, they decided to hashkem lahargo and kill Yosef first. And Yosef approaches them, and they decide this is it, they're going to kill him. However, Reuven, the eldest of the brothers, jumps in, Vayomer Aleihem Reuven, Al Tishpachu Dam, tells his brothers, no, let's not spill Yosef's blood. Instead, Ashlichu Oso El Habor Hazeh Asher Bamidbar, let's throw him in this pit over here in the desert, Vayad Al Tishlachu Bo, let's not harm him. Leman Hatzil Oso Miyadam Lashivo El Aviv, in order to save him from their hands and return him to the father. So his last words are, Rashi says, is not the words of Reuven. It's telling us the reason why he did this, why he told them not to kill Yosef, because he wanted to return Yosef to their father. So Rashi says, this in fact, Ruach HaKodesh Yid al Reuven, this is Ruach HaKodesh talking and telling us why Reuven wanted to save Yosef. Right. What did he say? Shalom amartot ella tziroto. He said this in order because he wanted to save him. Shiyavo hu v'yaleinu v'shana. He's going to come later and take him out of there and bring him back to the father. But then Rashi adds something very strange. He concludes, Amar, Reuven said, Ani v'chor v'gadol shebekulan. I am the oldest of all the brothers. Lo yitle hasirchon ella bi. So if anything happens to Yosef, who's going to get blamed? Me, because I'm the oldest brother, and the oldest kid always gets the blame for everything. Right? So this pasuk doesn't say this. Doesn't say what the reasons. What it says that Reuven saved him because he wanted to, you know, bring him back to the father. Rashi adds, yeah, but what was his reason? Why did he want to save Yosef? Okay, because he wanted to save his skin, his own skin, right? Oh, what's going to happen? My father finds out, boy, am I going to get over the head? Because I'm the oldest brother. I'm going to get blamed. I get blamed for everything. So that's the Marshal, Sifsei Chachamim here. He says, I don't understand. Why did Rashi have to dan Reuven l'chaf chov, let's call it? Right, why say this? Why can't you say that the reason why Reuven wanted to save Yosef and take him back to father is because Reuven was a tzaddik? Why do you have to come and say he had his own personal agenda involved? No, I only save Yosef because to save his own safe faith. Well, you know, he shouldn't get it over the head. Why do you have to say this, Rashi? Maybe the reason he saved Yosef is because he was a tzaddik and he wanted to save his brother. That's all. Why? So he answers, he says, because something bothered Rashi. And that was at the end of Sefer Bereishis. End of Sefer Bereishis, we have Yaakov giving his sons the blessing. And he said, we find a very strange thing. What is that? Reuven did a tremendous thing over here, right? The brothers were all going to kill Yosef. And he stood in, and he stood up and said, no, let's not kill him. He saved Yosef. We also find Yehuda also getting involved a few psukim later. And he says, what gain are we going to get from killing him? Let's sell him. And in the end, that's what they did. They sold Yosef. So if you compare, like, who did a greater act over here? Reuven or Yehuda? You think, of course, Reuven, right? Okay, Yehuda, let's sell him. Okay, and they sold him. But Reuven, it wasn't for Reuven, he probably would have killed him. Right? Reuven stood up and said, no, let's not, I'll teach Rechu Dam, let's not kill him. And he started the whole, you know, saving of Yosef. Yet, afterwards. Then he said, you know what, okay, fine, you know, we in the pit, you know, let's, okay, fine, let's sell him. But if it wasn't for Reuven, I would have been it. They would have killed him. Only Reuven stopped the whole, you know, charge against Yosef. Yet, he says, we find at the end, when we see the brachas, what would we expect, therefore? Reuven to be given these tremendous brachas of what a tzaddik he was, and Yehuda, not so much. Yet we find exactly the opposite. We find Yosef castigating Reuven in the quote-unquote brachas that he gets, and Yehuda getting a beautiful, beautiful bracha. So what's going on? Therefore, he says, Rashi said, learned, it must be that Reuven's act was not so pure as it looked. It looked, yeah, I'm going to save his brother. Must have been some personal benefit involved. It wasn't a pure act. And therefore, it says Rashi, and in fact, it wasn't. He did it just to save face, like we said, because he knew he was going to get blamed if anything happened to Yosef. Right? That's the reason why he saved him, because if not, he would have gotten just as good or greater bracha than Yehuda did. And the fact that he got less shows us that the act was not pure. So we see from here, which is the topic of tonight's drasha, that how a person, you have to do mitzvahs, you have to do acts of kindness, whatever it might be, but besides that, there's something special, something important, that the act should be pure as well. Right? Not just do the act, but the act should be completely pure, pure of any bias, pure of, just do it for the Shem Shemaim 100%. And there's a mitzvah with Rav Shach, that's all. Once he was walking with Rav Avram Gold in Bnei Brak, and along the way, they're going for a walk, and Rav Shach groaned. He gave a grunt. So he grunted, and he said, Orcha rechika v'zavta kalila. He quoted a chazal. That's a mashal. It says, the way is long, and the bags are light. It's a mashal that, you know, we have to go to the next world for eternity, a long, long, long way. And yet we're going there to the next world, what, with our light baggage. In other words, we don't have much mitzvahs, much ma'asim tovim. We're coming with, you know, empty bags, light bag. So Kilu was talking about himself. Kilu, well, here, you know, who knows how long you're going to live, and I have a long way to go to Olam Ha'emes, and then my bags are light. You know, where are my ma'asim tovim mitzvahs? So of course, Rav Gold turned to Rav Shach and said, come on, Rebbe, you know, you're Rosh Hashiva. How many people of Torah are you, you know, Marbit Torah to, and this? How can you say, you know, oh, my bags are light? So he said this. He said, you listen, Gold, he says, should know that it's not just the Maisim. He says, Hashem is looking for pureness. Has to be pure. In other words, okay, Rosh Hashiva, but that's not because you're Rosh Hashiva. Everybody gets up for you, gives you honor, gives you praise, and that's all the Rosh Hashiva. So as a result, okay, I'm not to belittle all the Torah being taught 100%, but the action is not 100% pure. Because it's always mixed with a little bit of covet, a little bit of, you know, if you get respect, that. So the act is not 100% pure anymore. We see this idea with the Rambam, the importance of pureness of act. Action. The Rambam says on the Chazal, says, Ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Right? Hashem wanted to give merit to Klal Yisrael. Lefikach Hirba Lahem Torah Mitzvah. And therefore, he gave them a lot of Torah Mitzvah. What does that mean? So the Rambam explains this, that he says that, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu give us so many mitzvahs? He says, Hashem really wants a Yid just to do one mitzvah 100%. That's it. Just one mitzvah. A person, he says, can do one mitzvah completely pure, l'shem shamayim, and with all the, you know, all the chumras and all the hidurim, and just do that mitzvah 100%. That's his kohen olam haba with that. But he says Hashem knew that everybody's different. And everybody has their things, what he enjoys, what he likes, what he can relate to. And therefore, if Hashem only gave one mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah you have to do, so it wouldn't appeal to everybody so much. So therefore, Hashem, in his kindness, says, you know what, I'm going to give you 613 mitzvahs. You have a whole array of mitzvahs to choose from. At least out of these, you can find one that's matim to you, that you can fit, you know, you can relate to. And then hook on to that mitzvah, do it 100%, and that you're going to get Olam Haba. See a riot from a mitzvah, also a chazal, with Rabbi Chanina ben Tradya. Says he was once teaching Torah, and publicly, when the Goyim forbade it. And Rabbi Yossi, you know, asked him, came up to him and says, oh, Rabbi, what are you doing? You know, it's day life-threatening. They'll kill you. You're teaching Torah publicly. So he commented, oh, Hashem Yazor, whatever, Hashem will have Rachmanis. So in their conversation, Chazal relate that Rav Chanina ben Tradya asked Rabbi Yossi, says, tell me, Rabbi Yossi, am I going to get Olam Haba? What do you think? So Rabbi Yossi says, well, it depends. Did you do any great act in your life? Maybe that, you know, in that you should be Zocha. Again, note right here. I mean, he was most inept teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael in time when, you know, giving up his life for it. But he said, did you do anything great in your life? So what did he answer? He thought for a moment. He says, yeah, I remember one thing. He says, no, what was it? He says, well, once I was before Purim, and I had money set aside for my Purim Suda, and I also had some Staka money. And accidentally, the monies got mixed up. And I didn't remember how much money was for the suit, how much money was for the tzedakah. I didn't know. So what did I do? I gave it all to tzedakah. So Rav Yossi said, "Psh, unbelievable. Yes, you're a ben olam haba. That's it. With a maitha like that, you got olam haba." So everybody asked the question, what's going on over here? Here he is, being Moser Nefesh, teaching Torah Barabim, and he wants to know if he gets olam haba. Rav Yossi, instead of saying, yeah, of course, what do you mean olam haba? Look, Moser Nefesh. No, looks for another mice, and what? A mice, okay, got money to give stuck, a big deal. So a daddy to the Dokhan Allah, but not being Marbit Stora, with putting his life in danger. So the answer is given, yeah, as we said, it's different. It's different. Why? Because you're teaching Torah Barabim, there's a certain amount of, look, I'm Moser Nefesh, everybody sees how I'm being Moser Nefesh, and they're giving me all this covet. Wow, look at him, he's teaching Torah, even though, he's putting his life, it's threatened, his life's being threatened. So a certain amount of covet there involved, right? You can't help it. So as a result, the mice is not 100% pure. He said, here he was alone in his house. Nobody knows. His money got into it. Would anybody know if he gave this amount of stock on this month of his Purim? So nobody knows. It's only in the privacy of his own home. That act of giving it out to tzedakah when nobody knew about it, he said, that's a maisa that's pure, and it's the purity of maisa. That's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. Similarly, there's Maisa with the Mechutin of Rav Vosner. His name is Rav Mises. And he asked, Rav Vosner asked him, he said, I heard that you spent some time in Siberia, when you were younger. So, it's terrible conditions. Can you tell me some Maisa? And he asked his father, his Mechutin, about, what happened in Siberia. So he told him, he said, listen, if you want to know what happened on the way to Siberia, I'll tell you what happened on the way to Siberia. If you want to know what happened on the way home from Siberia, after we finished being our stay there, I'll tell you what happened then. But what happened in Siberia, that story I'm saving after 120 years when I go up to the base in Shomal. Then right now I don't want to brag about, how we get mitzvahs on this condition. I want that to be a pure, I don't want to, take away from it now that, brag about it. I want that mitzvah to be pure. I'll leave that story, says, for the Olam Ha'emes. Similarly, is a very interesting story, perhaps not so well known, the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim put together a sefer. You might have seen, we have it in the Beit Midrash, the Sefer Mitzvah Takatza. Right? So what happened, the Chafetz Chaim saw that L'maisa, there are 613 mitzvahs, but there's not that many that are really nohig v'zmanazeh. In fact, there's, out of 248 mitzvahs asay, there's only 77 that are nohig v'zmanazeh. So he decided to write a sefer compiling all this listing, the mitzvahs that are nohig v'zmanazeh. So he approached the Shamish, who was in Europe, and this Shamish had mentioned he was going to America for a trip. So he says, oh, I have a job for you. He says, I want to publish this sefer, and I need money for it. It's going to cost about $1,000, I figure, for printing. So what I want you to do is I want you to see if you can find somebody that would like to sponsor the sefer. However, I have a couple of conditions. The person has to give all the money, and it has to be only under the condition that he doesn't have his name written in the book, that he donated the money. It has to be 100% L'shem Shemayim. And not only that, I want it to come from the person. I don't want you to convince the person either to say, can you give the money, but we're not writing your name in the book, okay? I want it to come from that person. You find a person that himself will be willing to not have his name put in the book, that's the person for the sponsorship. So he says, okay, I'll see what I can do. So he makes his way to America. In those days, it was by ship. It was a week's journey. Finally, he gets there. He's totally sick. And he has to go see doctors. Anyways, he somehow ends up in Florida. He comes to Florida. He arrives in over there at the port. And there's a yid there, another firm yid. And he says, listen, Shalom Aleichem, introduces himself. I want to help you out a little bit. You look like you're just visiting here. He says, that's correct. He says, well, I just want to tell you where you can eat and where you can't eat because it's not so pasha. He says, why not? He says, well, there's restaurants you'll see saying kosher, but they're owned by Reform Jews, and they're not kosher as the, you know. So anyway, so he saw this guy was a very, you know, tzaddik type, you know, and he invited him over for Shabbos. He says, you know, my pleasure, and he stayed. But so while he was there, he decided to, you know, ask him, mention to him about this book. He says, you know, the Chafetz Chaim has this book he wants to publish, say, for Mitzvah Sakata, perhaps he's very interested. So he says, well, how much is it? $1,000. He says, no problem. He says, I'll give you $1,000 for the publishing, but only on one condition. I don't want my name in the book. I want it to, without my name. I'll give you the money, but without my name. Ah, he heard that? Mina Shaman. This is it. This is the guy. So sure enough, he gave the money. They published a book. How was that? Story continues years later. Many years later, those in Europe, in America, this fellow and his family, they were made aliyah eventually, and so too the ones in Europe. And this the shamish of the Chafetz Chaim that had raised the money that time, he's already, of course, an older man. He was sitting in his house in Bnei Brak on the porch, and he sees somebody walking by on the street, and he recognizes him, and he's mishpacha of this man that had given the money years ago. So, it was his son or son-in-law. And he calls him over, and he says, ah, aren't you the son of so-and-so? So he says, yeah. He goes, oh, Shalom Aleichem, oh, wow. And he goes, you know, invites him in, gives him something to drink, they're schmoozing, this and that. So he goes, oh, did you heard the story about your father did with the, you know, the Chafetz Chaim's book, and they're unbelievable. I says, what are you talking about? What, your father didn't tell you? Says, no, what do you mean? He tells him the story. He goes, oh, my, I don't believe it, you know. Chafetz Chaim wanted to publish a book, and he didn't want anybody's name, and it, no? So he decided to, you know, to ask, he gave me the job of finding somebody to publish it without, you know, without his name in the book. And it was your father. It was your father. He was the man I found in America. And he gave me all the money, and he didn't want his name in the book. I was your father. He never heard this? He goes, no, wow, I didn't know my father said tzaddik. Well, anyways, so the son came home and told his father. He says, you know, you Nachmi never told me a story about how you paid for the Chafetz Chaim's book and without, you know, your name in it. Nachmi never told me. So all of a sudden, the father turned white. And he goes, oh, I don't believe it. He says, no, I'm not Michael. I'm not in this world, not in the next world. I'm not Michael. I'm not Michael. So the son says, what's going on? So the father says, he says, listen, you know, my whole life, Baruch Hashem, I've been supporting institutions, Torah institutions, giving money to Staka, this charity, that charity, you know. But the whole time, you know, you get covered. You get it's not called pure, you know, a pure maisa. Because, you know, people get your plaque put up here, they this and that, and you get honor. So I wanted at least once in my life to do a Staka, it would be 100% pure, and nobody would know about it. I wouldn't get any honor. It would be totally clean Staka for the sake of Staka. And that's why I took upon my project paying for the publishing of this book. And then, Baruch Hashem, you know, that was it. My name wasn't written in there. And I thought, great, I'm going to go to Olam HaEmes with a pure Tzaka. Like nobody ever found out about it pure. And then all of a sudden, now, the Shamish goes telling you about it. Yeah, the cat's out of the bag, right? The mice are not so pure anymore. People found out about it. Yeah, and I'm getting honor for it. Ah, I'm not Moichel, I'm not Moichel. In the end, the story goes that he was Moichelom. But again, see this idea of pureness of action. Let's conclude one the last Nakuda, tied in a little bit with Hanukkah coming next week. We say in Al Nisim that very funny statement. It says that after the Maccabees conquered the Greeks, it says Vidliku Neras v'chatzos kochach. But then they lit candles in the chatzer, the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Chasam Sofer asks, he says, why in the chatzer? Right? They got rid of the Greeks. So now, light in the Heikel, where the menorah is supposed to be. What were they doing lighting in the chatzer, in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash? They should light inside in the Heikel. So he says, very simply, he said that because it was filthy and dirty in there with the Avodah Zarah, and when there's filthy and dirty inside, you can't light the menorah there. For example, you have to light it outside. What's the idea? That, see, the idea that when it's dirty on the inside, And in Mela, things come out into the open. Meaning that, like we said before, right, that actions have to be pure, should be pure. But when are they not? Very often the action's not pure. If a person's not pure on the inside, if he's dirty on the inside, his midas aren't so great, whatever, he wants kavod, he wants honor, etc. So Mela, the actions become public, everybody has to know about it. Right, since a person who is humble, who has good means, and he's a person the actions aren't seen from the outside. They're mamish pure actions. Include one last story with Rav Chaim Zlotis. Once he was in the early days, he used to have in Europe, it was called the Paris. You know, a guy, a goy, used to own this area, and he used to rent out houses or job businesses, whatever, to the Yidden. And okay, sometimes they were nice, but many times they were not so nice. So this one, Rav Chaim Zlotta says, Paritz was once with a smoozing with a friend of his, talking to a friend of his, and he was bragging. He says, you know, I have one person I'm renting out one of my places to. He's a very righteous person. He's a big rav, and he's a righteous person. He says, yeah, I don't believe it. He says, yeah, come, I'll show you. So he says, okay. So they go to the Rav Chaim's house. They get to his house. They knock on the door. There's no answer. He says, that's strange. He's the only home at this time. He's knocking. No answer. Why was there no answer? Because Rav Chaim was davening. So they went around the side of the house and they looked at him. And he was standing there like stiff, like a rock, like this, and they're standing in the corner davening. He didn't move. And finally, finished, took 3 steps back, and then he went to the door. And they came around to the front door, and they came in, and so they started talking, and they asked him, how come you didn't answer the door? So he goes, well, I would, I was just in the middle of my prayer. So the Paritz's friend says, don't give me this, your prayers. You weren't praying. I know, I have Jews in my area also. And that's not how Jews daven. When Jews daven, they shake and they back and forth and rock back and forth and their arms and this and that. And then you're standing there like a rock. That's not called praying. Don't give me this. You weren't praying. So Rav Chaim said, let me tell you a maisa. He says, there's once a king that he hired out a contractor, and he wanted to build the most beautiful, beautiful mansion, palace. And he said to the architect, whatever it costs, money's no object, this has to be something special that everybody talks about. He said, fine. So he worked on it many, many months. Finally, it was ready, and he called in the king and to give him a tour of his brand new house. And he showed him this and that. And, oh, gorgeous. Everything was gorgeous. And he put a tremendous amount of effort. And he says, now, king, I want to show you something special, special. So he led him to his room. He says, I made for you a special safe, but it's a hidden safe. He says, if you can find where this safe is, you don't have to pay me for all my work. Nothing. So the king says, oh, yeah, okay. So he looks around, searches in the room, says, couldn't find it. He says, okay, I give up. Where is it? So he says, look over there. You see the picture on the wall? It's a picture of an eagle. He says, yeah. He says, go up to that picture and press the eye of the eagle. He goes up to the picture, presses the eye, and all of a sudden the mixed picture moves to the side, and this big safe comes out. He says, wow, it's unbelievable. So he says, wait, I'm not finished yet. He says, I had this safe specially constructed that it can hold exactly 100,000 gold coins. Not one more and not one less. Exactly 100,000. So he says, come on. He says, oh. And if it's not true, you don't have to pay me for my work. So the king says, bring the money. So they bring these big sacks of money, and they start. 1, 2, 3, 4, what happened? Putting in the coins, filling. Anyways, they come up towards the end. They get 999,996, 99,998, 99, and that was it. They couldn't get the last one in. So the guy turned white. He said, oh my God. So they tried, they couldn't get the last coin in. So he said, oh no. So the king said, don't worry, it's okay, one coin. I'm gonna pay you, I see you did such a tremendous job. And he goes, no, but it can't be. I know I constructed it for 100,000. He goes, no, don't worry about it. He goes, no. I'm not gonna take this sitting down. He said, empty it out. So they emptied out the safe, clean out all the coins, and then the architect looked inside and goes, ah. He takes the cloth and goes, it was dirty, it was filthy. Cleans out the dirt, he goes, now I'll try again. Put 9,999 and 100 and exactly 100,000 fit to the T. So he said to the Paritsa's friend, Chaim, what moral of the story? See, when there's dirt on the inside, you know, then it comes out on the outside, right? The money's on the outside. Right? When is it when is all the money on the inside if it's clean? Right? So too, he said people that daven are they're not pure on the inside, they have to show it on the outside. Oh, davening, oh, moving their arm back and forth, make a whole big show out of it. Why? Because they're not pure on the inside. They have dirt on the inside, so it has to come out on the outside. But a person's pure on the inside, so that you don't have to, you can stand there like a rock and daven, you don't have to put on a show. Right? That's the moral, again, as we spoke about tonight, that a person has to put his efforts into making sure, yes, do the mitzvahs, but to make a point of doing them as pure as possible, not with any personal bias, not for any personal reason. Sometimes you can't help it. But you should try to search out, whenever you can, to hop on at least one mitzvah, that is, and do it 100% L'shem Shemayim. And with that, that's the ticket to Olam Haba. And if we all are buy our tickets to Olam Haba, and the Nefesh Baruch Hu should see our efforts, and see our purchases, and bring us the greatest purchase of the Mashiach, Tzidkenu, Yehi Ramim.